Welcome to the Free Man's Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Whitmire. Join us as we explore liberty, truth, and current events from a biblical worldview.
You said you tried Whataburger the other night?
Yeah, it was last night. I'm a fan. I was already a fan.
Yeah.
Because I'd had it way back when, first time in Panama City. But yeah, we're going to talk about these fast food restaurants right now, burger places.
Okay.
Definitely not affiliated with us. Just feel like I got to say that.
If only, man.
Yeah. Right.
So tried Whataburger. You said you really liked it.
Yes. It was amazing. I don't recommend unless you're super hungry getting the triple, cause that was a little too much.
It's big.
I was hungry, but not that hungry. Yeah. So yeah, if I were to rank fast food burgers, right? And I'm not talking like, you know, Five Guys. That's not fast food.
Yeah, it's too expensive to be fast food.
Well, it's too expensive, and there's not a drive-through most of the time, I think.
Yes. Preach, Joel.
So if I were to rank them, before Whataburger came into my life, with parting clouds and angels singing, it would have been Wendy's, honestly.
Wendy's is kind of not bad.
It's one of my favorites, if I can say I have a favorite burger place. Yes, in quotation marks. And then I probably would have honestly done Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
After that,
I had a Dairy Queen burger.
I can't remember the last time I had something like Burger King or.
Dude. I think Burger King should be shut down.
Yeah, well, it probably needs to be. But I remember the last time I had McDonald's. I was 17.
Oh, God, that was like 35 years ago.
Shut up. So, you jerk. I was 17 and I was up all night throwing up. And after that, I was like, never again.
That Big Mac will get you,
It wasn't even a Big Mac. It was a
double quarter pounder.
It was a biscuit.
That doesn't count as a burger, though.
Nope. But I'm just saying, that's the last time I had it.
Literally not even the same meat.
The last time I had it.
Okay. Well, I see. I can mess with some McDonald's McGriddles.
See, I used to be able to, but it's not worth it to me. Not after that night. And that, dude, as long as it's been since I was 17, that's how.
35 years.
Shut up. It is not. Anyways. So then Whataburger's the new top.
The new number one.
Without a doubt.
Whoa. Okay, I have to try this now. You know what's like super overrated in every way imaginable?
What?
In-N-Out.
See, I've never had it. I was in California this last year and I didn't get a go.
Yeah. It's just like In-N-Out with like the whole animal style, in quotation marks again, is just like, I think it's just basically a Thousand Island dressing that's like thrown in. It's not that good.
A Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
Which
In-N-Out.
Is it on all their burgers?
No, that's like you can order animal style, but that's like the thing that they do. That's like their famous way. Okay. And so it's like the rest of it was fine, but it was just like a decent, like a pretty good fast food burger with like this stuff on it that I was like, I don't want this. Why are you doing this to
me? Well, that's people may not agree with this, but that's
what, probably not.
That's what the Big Mac secret sauce is. It's a Thousand Island dressing.
Controversy on the podcast this week.
Anyways, so this is now part two on our series on government. And just to recap for our listeners, if you haven't listened to it, please go listen to our first episode.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great conversation. Got into some scriptures on what government is, what its duty is. And then we got into... What was the name of the declaration?
The Barman Declaration, which was a document which we'll address a little bit more in part two here. But that was written by a group of evangelical pastors in the 1930s in Germany.
Yeah, standing up against the Nazis.
Yeah, it was in response to the kind of Nazi overreach into church affairs.
Yeah. So it was really good. Invite you to go give that a listen. We had fun doing it and we're going to have fun doing this one. So thanks for listening, guys. Just to recap though, on our definition of government / what government's fundamental duty is, what is its whole purpose? So government, the way we said it was government's fundamental duty is to, without partiality, protect the God-given rights and liberty of the people, and to restore the people's rights whenever they are violated. And government is to do this, and also to seek and promote good as God defines it for the people, and yeah, especially to protect the people, protect their safety from crime and from invading armies and those types of things. That's right. That's part of what God has given government to do. So we ask the question, why government? Is it a good thing? And yes, it is, because government is to protect innocent and punish evil. Mm-hmm. It's one of God's biggest means of protecting people.
Yeah. And we talked about how the reason why government is good partially is because the sinfulness of mankind and the idea that, you know, right, life is not perfect. Then right, the Barman Declaration, they acknowledge that, like, in the fallen world that we live in, right, we need governments to protect us from each other and ourselves,
right,
and from other governments.
And from our own government, yeah, which is something I want to stress. We said just a second ago, government is a good thing. Government in its proper God-ordained jurisdiction, exactly, is a good thing. Once it gets out of that,
it's not so good.
It becomes terrible. And we really stress that and talked about the different regimes throughout history. We didn't even talk about the Roman Empire, but
right, yeah,
more modern regimes in our own time, or the time of at least our grandparents, mm-hmm, just how evil it can become when government steps outside of the jurisdiction God created for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that brings us to the
jurisdictions
and the concept of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Jurisdiction, we kind of touched on a little bit in our last episode, it's a sphere. I like to use word pictures because I see in pictures, mm-hmm, right? If I were to put, where is government supposed to function? I would draw a circle and say, all right, government functions within that circle.
Yeah.
And that we laid it out in the last one. We just redid the definition, protect the rights and liberty of the people, be God's servant for our good, punish evildoers,
mm-hmm,
all those types of things, right? That's within that jurisdiction. So this concept, though, we wanted to talk about the jurisdiction of for government,
mm-hmm,
and also, though, we need to start with
the baseline,
the very fundamental baseline, and that is that King Jesus has an absolute and total jurisdiction over everything, every institution, every square inch of planet Earth, including and especially government. And this comes from Matthew 28, right before he ascended and he gave the Great Commission. He declared all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gentleman's name was Abraham Kuyper, famously, ooh, once said, and I'm gonna have to paraphrase it because I might not get it exactly right.
Yeah.
But he famously once said, there is not one square inch over planet Earth over which the risen Christ does not say, mine.
Mm.
It all belongs to him. He That's has good. Earned it, and he is worthy.
Hmm.
So all right jurisdiction, on. All government then is derivative. It comes from him. Mm. And we really stress that it comes from what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think that's, I love that word derivative. I think is just so cool. You know, it's this putting things in their proper place,
yes,
in their proper order, right, which we'll get into that more. We'll lay out the proper order of just government and society. But before that, you know, I wanted to just kind of jump back into just another little bit from this thing, the Barman Declaration, which we talked about in the last episode,
right? Right.
Because those group of believers also acknowledge this idea of Christ's ultimate jurisdiction. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and read Article 2 of the Declaration.
Yeah,
we read
it,
Article
please.
5 last time. But so Article 2 here says, it quotes 1 Corinthians 1:30, where it says, Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And then they open by saying this. It says, as Jesus Christ is God's assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins, so in the same way and with the same seriousness is he also God's mighty claim upon our whole life.
Mm.
Through him befalls us a joyful deliverance from the godless fetters of this world for a free, is that word, freedom, yeah, liberty, grateful service to his creatures. And then here we go again where they kind of, they do this, they acknowledge this thing and then they reject another thing. They say, we reject the false doctrine as though there were areas of our life in which we would not belong to Jesus Christ, but to other lords. Areas in which we would not need justification and sanctification through him. Just like, I read that like 12 times before we did this podcast, because I was just like, God, that's such a good reminder. Like the idea of like jurisdiction, not just like Christ has jurisdiction over everything,
right?
But that ultimately, especially as believers, he has jurisdiction over our entire lives.
Right. Well, and I think that's something that's important, because it's not just believers. Mm-hmm. He has jurisdiction over everything.
Yeah.
One of the scripture, Psalm chapter 2, towards the end of it, there is a charge given to all governing authorities that they serve the Lord with fear and submit to him. And it says, uses the language of, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of kissing the Son was to submit to him, right? That's a call to all government, everywhere, whether they are Christian or not. Like, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and what he says goes. And when you don't function the way he says it's supposed to happen, supposed to be done, you're only inviting judgment upon yourself, lest you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. That's talking about Jesus. And so I think that that's just wonderful, especially where they say here, we reject the false doctrine as though there were areas of our life in which we would not belong to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like that, just keep your religious stuff to Sunday morning, right? Your spiritual stuff, that's all God's concerned with. Everything else, just do whatever you want. No, everything is under the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's important to remember, again, the context in which this is published, because what was being asked of them at the time was not openly to denounce their faith, because the Nazis were very particular and very careful to produce propaganda and an image that presented them as like a Western Christian government.
Yeah.
They went to painstaking lengths to say that, you know, in Hitler's inaugural address as chancellor, you know, he appeals to the, you know, God of our common good and conscience and things like that.
Sickening.
But what these Christians are up against when they release this is this demand from the Nazi party for them to submit their lives to the party. I mean, that's like Nazism 101. It's like the party is above all.
Right. That's that collectivism.
It's that collectivism. Exactly. Episode, right? Exactly. And, you know, even so much as so as like the Nazis create this group of Christians, and using quotes again, called the German Christians, which begin to sort of develop their whole like new church identity. So they do things like they remove the Old Testament in certain churches. They don't teach it anymore because it's too Jewish. They emphasize somehow the quote unquote Arianness of Jesus Christ. They reject, there's another statement, which we get into, which is the German Christians doctrine, where they reject the Jewishness of Jesus. It just goes, I know, man, it's like blowing your mind right
Nazis
now. It goes
just, on and on. Terrible.
And so that's what they're up against.
Just evil.
Yeah.
And so they're up against evil.
Right. And when they say we reject this idea as that there are areas of our life that were not submitted to Jesus Christ, they're touching on something specific. Yeah. You know, they're saying, you are asking us to say that our lives are submitted to the party above all else. And they're just flat out saying, we won't do it. Which is, man, gets me fired up.
Yeah, getting me fired up. And that just goes back to like this picture that King Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that those are, whether people like it or not, those are political statements in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jesus is declaring himself in those statements that he rules over it all.
Yeah.
And his jurisdiction covers everything.
Right. Even so much as like the Greek word Kyrios, which means like lord over the whole earth.
Yeah.
It's what the Greeks called the Persian emperors.
Right.
They saw as like their rulers of all the world minus Greece for some reason. But, you know, the Christian writers are like, they specifically use that word to
right.
say like, Jesus, he is all his.
It all belongs to him.
It all belongs
past,
to him.
Present, and future. It's yeah. his. And that brings us to just say it again, God's jurisdiction, because again, mm-hmm. all other jurisdictions, all other powers derivative from Christ, from God. God's jurisdiction for government is simply to protect the rights and liberty of the people. Mm-hmm. I feel like we sound like a broken record as we have said that over and over again.
Some things are bare repeating.
It's got to be repeated. That is its main duty, to protect mm-hmm. the liberty and the rights of the people. So government is supposed to only function within its God-ordained jurisdiction that we've covered. And we are commanded to obey government all day long when it does this.
Yeah.
If government steps outside that jurisdiction, though, then we were never told to obey that.
Yeah.
Like, just like the German... Not the German Christians, not the Nazi Christians. Mm-hmm. If you can
I know, right.
say
it gets weird when you start
thing.
Saying all these
right. But
terms.
Bonhoeffer and the guys with him who wrote that document that we were just reading, they recognize like we will obey government when it operates in its proper jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. But the whole document was saying, but you've overstepped and we yeah. can't obey you.
We
weren't told
we
to
not.
Obey you.
Yeah.
Right. And to obey, if they had obeyed, it would have been to just perpetrate. I got it.
Hey,
I couldn't get that earlier. to obey is to perpetrate the wrongdoing, the sin of government.
Mm.
And praise God for those men who stood up in the face of just the evil Nazism, and for others throughout history. You think yeah. about the martyrs, like they stood up and they said, I can obey the Roman government until it tells me to do something God has told me not to do, or to not do something God has told me to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So yeah, and so that's government. The church's jurisdiction is different, and that's kind of what they were getting at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they mentioned that as well.
Yeah, so you know, government's jurisdiction, protect the rights and liberty of the people. Church's jurisdiction, proclaim truth.
Mm-hmm.
Influence society with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that sets men free and changes them. You have that influence. Its jurisdiction is to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the truth, the whole counsel of God's word.
Yeah.
Right. So,
which it kind of interesting, just a like random little tidbit. After World War II,
yeah.
A lot of these guys who are involved in this, like Bonhoeffer, some of them are killed,
right.
you know, for their right. positions, their faith. And ultimately, you know, Bonhoeffer, partially because he was involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler.
Right. Which, dang.
It's pretty intense. But so the gentlemen who survive, who, you know, continue on after the war is over, they form kind of another smaller group, and they release another statement where they actually sort of do this public confession
mm-hmm.
where they sort of confess that they did not, in their eyes, do enough.
Oh, wow.
To prevent Nazism from ever existing.
Man.
And so they have this whole confession about how, you know, we confess to not praying enough. We confess to not spreading his gospel. And that's a little bit more
that's
depressing
convicting.
And sad,
not,
but it's,
wow, that's
but
convicting.
It's,
yeah.
it's amazing because it's this acknowledgement of like, with the gospel spreading, like these things would have never happened. And right. so they kind of have this public declaration of saying like, hey, we realize like we didn't do enough to, which I mean, whether that's fair or not, but it was
yeah,
amazing
there,
to see their faith
a,
to be willing
yeah.
to admit to that, you know?
I think that there's a fine line there because it's like, well, what is enough?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And whose responsibility is it really? I mean,
but
powers and principalities at work too.
Sure, sure. And there are things that God will ordain and allow
mm-hmm.
that'll be beyond our efforts.
Yeah.
But it still bears a good thought, like, wow, these guys lived through it. They stood up like they did.
Mm-hmm.
But then they come out and say, we didn't do enough.
Yeah.
And that just bears thinking about, like, what are we not doing enough mm-hmm. right now that if we were to maybe put some more effort in,
right.
could potentially prevent another another evil thing like Nazism and the Holocaust and those types of things.
And yeah, and that was their big thing was like they were confessing that they didn't do enough before all those things happened.
Right, exactly.
Right, like when during the Weimar Republic, which was like not a really great thing either, but you know, their confession was like, they were like, hey, like we didn't do enough during that time. We didn't do enough to give people hope in the hope of the gospel that they wouldn't turn to something like Nazism as their only hope, which is just, I mean, it's convicting. It is. You're like, dang, man. And like with everything that's going on, like in our country today, right? It puts these things in perspective.
It sure does. Men. And that's honestly part of why we want to do this podcast is to speak truth, truth about what government is and what it shouldn't be. What our rights are, what liberty is, what God says over all this, because again, his jurisdiction is over all of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to touch real quick, we've talked about government's jurisdiction versus the church's jurisdiction. I just wanted to put a quick note on the proper separation of church and state. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
Because the government, its job is to protect the rights and liberty of people. Part of that is their faith, the free exercise of their faith. It's to protect that. Mm-hmm. It's to protect the people who are worshiping in these types, in exercising their religion. So the church in that situation is to be spreading the gospel, proclaiming truth, not forcing it. It can't. It doesn't have any power to. It's not supposed to. The gospel, definitely, God's word never would have it that be that way. But proclaiming it, being faithful stewards of it.
Yeah.
And that helps a wonderful cycle of ensuring that the government's abiding by its proper God-given jurisdiction, right? So it's not a separation in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
The separation is institutional. And we kind of read that in that declaration in the last episode, is it's an institutional separation where institutionally the state doesn't run the church and the institution of the state or church doesn't run the institution of the state.
Right, it doesn't become the state.
Right, it's institutional and that's key. It's that kind of separation.
Yeah, right on.
So that we just wanted to touch on that, and that leads us now into something else we want to talk about is like the hierarchy of government and accountability.
Yeah.
Right. So what we mean by hierarchy here is just the question, who has the ultimate power in society?
Yeah.
Well, God.
Who has ultimate jurisdiction.
Exactly. God, Jesus Christ. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Mm-hmm.
He is, and he always will be, right? He is risen from the dead. He is King.
Yeah.
Everything comes from him. So after God, then you have the people.
Mm-hmm.
You have the people they have the next level of authority, if you will. They're the first ones that God has given power to.
Okay.
And we see this in Exodus 18 and in Deuteronomy 1, just as one example where the people are told, you pick rulers to be over yourself, right? So they're the ones who have the power to pick the rulers and, as we'll get into in a minute, and hold them accountable.
Okay. That's when Exodus is when, is that when Moses, he starts delegating responsibility?
Yes, but it's really key to and important. He doesn't pick the people.
Mm-hmm.
He tells the people to pick them.
Ah.
Yeah.
Bingo. So
that just shows the principle that the authority, again, and that goes back to even to the beginning that individuals have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
We're given our consent. We're coming together in society and we are going to give some power to people to do things for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the ability to take that power back when necessary.
Sure. Cool. So we got the people.
So
God, then the people.
Then the next part is the law.
Ooh.
Right? And you can see an example of this, just one example in Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20, where God gives some instructions for when the children of Israel pick a king.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives like these he gives hard and fast rules for them, but I believe that the principles there is that government has to abide by the law too. And so the law is over the people, yes, but also those in authority, the government. So you have, again, we're going to list it out here, God, then the people, then the law, and then you have governing officials.
And then at the bottom.
At the bottom of the list, right. They're the ones who don't have ultimate power or authority. They have the least amount. Romans 13 calls them servants, right? And that was talking about in the time of Nero.
Yeah.
Right? So government is to be the servants of God for the people's good.
For the record, Nero would not have considered himself a servant to anybody.
Considering he thought himself a god, definitely not. So, but that if that's the case, if that is the hierarchy, and we listed these scriptures here.
There has to be accountability.
There is accountability, right? So the accountability comes from the concept of a covenant. We don't usually talk about covenants today, except unless we talk about marriage, maybe something to do with the HOA, just stuff
covenant
like that.
Covenant I don't agree to.
Yeah, but covenants were a huge part of the forming of this country.
Yeah.
Like when the first settlers came here, when they were forming governments, they called them covenants because they saw it as a covenant between the people, God, and the ruling authorities, right? It was this agreement that was taking place. Is we're going to do this as the people, government, you do this, protect our rights and liberty, keep us safe, and we're all going to acknowledge that God is over all this, right? So that's the basic idea of a governmental covenant. And it bled in, I say bled into, that formed the foundation that ended up creating the Declaration of Independence that, in my opinion, as it states what government's supposed to be, talks about the people, but then it acknowledges God's authority. It is one of these types of government that then created the frame, the foundation for our Constitution. So we get this idea, though, in the Bible, and we see it in 2 Kings chapter 11, 17, where it says, "And Jehoiada, who was the high priest, made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people." So something really interesting about this concept of covenant, the principle here, is that if the king obeys the terms of the covenant, but the people don't, then the king, his duty is to hold the people accountable. Yep. You know,
stop crying. As a servant to them.
Right, as a servant. And he's been given the sword, like we saw in Romans 13 in our last episode, to punish evildoers. And he has the authority to reward good, promote good, those types of things, right? So if the people don't hold up the terms of the covenant, then he has to hold them accountable. He has to hold the people accountable. Now, on the other flip side, if the people obey the terms of the covenant, but the king doesn't, then the people are charged to hold the king accountable. So,
or the public officials.
Or the public official, or the government in general, right? So all of this is the idea that all are under the law, the rule of law. This is this concept is really explained well in Samuel Rutherford's book, who was a Protestant, but Puritan in the 1600s, and he wrote a book called Lex Rex, which means the law is king.
Law is king, yep.
Right? It's a hard read, but it's important, and I would encourage our listeners, encourage you, try to read it. It's one of the things that influenced our founding fathers, but it's this huge argument from a biblical perspective against the divine right of kings or the divine right of governments to say that they have absolute power.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love even just the title of the book, Lex Rex, is kind of like it's a play on Latin, because it's instead of saying Rex Lex, which would be like the king's laws.
Right.
Right. It's saying, no, like you just literally flip them. It's like the law's king.
Right.
You know, the king is subjugated to the law, which is, I just love that. It's so fun.
So yeah, that's this whole idea of accountability, though, that you have the hierarchy of government, God, the people, the law, the king, or the governing officials. But then you have the idea of covenant in that you have this balancing out, holding accountable people who step outside the covenant, step outside these terms. And again, in our country, that would be the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That's the king, if you will, that has authority over governing officials and people.
Hmm. Cool. So given that this podcast is supposed to be about liberty and not government, technically,
well,
although it is about government also.
Yeah, yeah. This, though, just on that, we've talked about government's job is to protect liberty.
Yeah.
And in our Liberty podcast, the episodes we did on the concept of liberty, which we invite our listeners to go listen to if they haven't yet, we define liberty this way. Liberty is not a license to do whatever you want. Instead, liberty is the ability and responsibility to do what God says is right and good and to enjoy all that God has given individuals to enjoy without oppression or tyranny, whether from individuals or governments.
Yes.
Right? So it's that protection, and government's job is to protect that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So yeah, that just leads us to this whole idea that government bears the sword to punish evil and promote good, to be God's servant for our good, not grant rights and liberty. And I think that's really important. And we touched on this a little bit in the last episode when we talked about the collectivist societies and the totalitarian governments. And even a secular view of government is that government grants rights.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
As we've just discussed, government has derivative power from God, from the people, from the law.
Yep.
That they are not to grant rights. They don't have that authority. It's not even close to something they're allowed to do. Mm-hmm. They're just to acknowledge that rights are there, that God has already created them and given them to people, and to protect those rights.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I think that's so cool, because like when you acknowledge the fact that government's authority is derivative in the first place, then you can start to understand why its role is to not grant rights and liberty.
Right.
Because you're like, it doesn't even come, like the government is not the authority on everything anyways.
Right.
You know, and I think that's probably why in a lot of like, you know, modern or secular ideas, why that gets reversed, because it's like if there's no basis for morality, there's no basis for objective truth, well then the government's responsibility is to define objective truth or to define what I'm allowed to do.
And think about, you talked about the Nazis, that's exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
Getting away from the truth of the gospel and creating their own gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Literally.
Right. And just to everything we've talked about in both of these episodes so far, just to step back and think about it, right? Like, government, the concept in its proper jurisdiction, is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. And we should be thanking God for it.
Yeah.
Right? We thank God for our men and women who serve in uniform, whether it's in our military or first responders of any kind, who stand on the front lines, and we should be praying for them. The Bible tells us to pray for them and for rulers and authorities, right? And it's just, I don't know. It's this whole thing. Like, we can get too caught up in the concepts here and not really let these things sink in, that these are truths.
Yeah.
These are things that God has put in his word for us, so we would know and then be able to live a life that is flourishing, that is a blessing to ourselves, but especially to other people.
Yeah.
And that glorifies God. When we do this, when we submit to God and government submits to God, it's a blessing and it glorifies him.
Yeah.
It massively glorifies him when we acknowledge that he is in fact King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And it's cool because there's, Tim Mackey from the Bible Project. He has a saying that I really like when he talks about the Gospels or he talks about Jesus, and he says that, you know, when Jesus calls his followers to do something, he actually expects them to do it.
Wow.
He doesn't just call them in some weird arbitrary, like, I'm just saying this to throw it out there, do with it what you will. Like, no, he's like, I'm calling, like, love your neighbor as yourself. Like, it's a literal call to, like, do it, you know? And that's the thing, when you apply that to government, like how many times we mentioned that the Bible talks about government and command or calls you to pray for your leaders,
right?
To be somewhat engaged with this thing of government. It's like, it's actually a call. like as a follower of Christ is right. like this part of it is to like be involved in it. You know what I mean? Not that it's like, you know, wrapped up in your salvation or whatever necessarily, but that it's something salvific. That it's like, hey, like as a follower of Christ, like this is a good thing to be right. a part of,
and
you know?
And think about the guys who you said got together after the war mm-hmm. and wrote that confession. It's out of love for neighbor mm-hmm. that you stand up and hold government accountable while it's peaceable, while it's still in within accountability that prevents the evils. Evils of the mm-hmm. Holocaust. It's doing it today. It's loving your neighbor today to do that, mm-hmm. right? And it's the way we hold our governments accountable in this country is we get to vote. Mm-hmm. That's one way. And people can say, oh, I've voted all my life and doesn't do anything. Well, it is a means. And also a means are actually going and talking to the people who are in authority. And something that's massively missing, and we'll actually be doing a series on here soon, mm-hmm. is the concept of local
self-community government.
Self-government, right, yeah. right. It's self-government within your local community that you as the community then use your voice to talk to the people at differing levels of government. And when lots of us do that, lots of communities get together and do that, you start having some means to actually change some things, but mm-hmm. that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother time. that I can't wait to get into. That's mm-hmm. that's something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. So going back to government, government doesn't give or grant rights, but it acknowledges that rights exist from God, most importantly, and that government's duty is to protect those rights.
Yes. And so we've said it again and again, just like to sum it up and say it one more time. Government's job is not to be a provider. Mm-hmm. It's not to be a caregiver from cradle to grave. It's not almighty, and it doesn't have all power to do whatever it wants or whatever a few people think would be best. just a whole idea on that. I would encourage our readers to read the book, The Road to Serfdom by Friedrich Hayek. I just finished it actually today.
You've been talking about this book a lot.
Yeah. He does a really good job explaining how these collective totalitarian societies, how they get the power and then what they do with it. Mm. It was eye-opening for me. It was great. So that's not what government isn't that. And as we've seen from what we've looked at through scriptures and seen case studies of in the Christians in Germany, what should government be is to be God's servant to administer justice, righteousness, equity, impartiality, and protect the safety, the rights, and liberty of the people.
Nice.
That's it. All under the authority of King Jesus.
Yeah. Right on.
So government is a blessing from God. Any closing thoughts from you?
No, I mean, I think, again, government being a blessing from God. The idea that as believers, we have some level of responsibility. And I think individually that varies in terms of like your involvement mm-hmm. into like
Agreed.
Government.
Definitely.
But, you know, there is sort of this thing of just like even praying for your leaders, this engagement in it, you know, and how we talked about institutionally, there's a separation, but it doesn't mean that on like a personal, individual, social, like, community level, there doesn't have to be or shouldn't be a separation of church and state, right? Like praying for your leaders is you're hoping that influences the government.
Right. Well, it's always an institutional separation. Mm-hmm. It's never a separation from truth getting from the people of God to the government or government protecting the people of God, right? That does not get separated. Mm. And it just, that's got to be defined clearly. But
cool.
Yeah, I had a quote here. It's actually one of my favorite quotes. It just makes you think about government and where we're at. And I'll just let the readers know this was written in 1888. And just think about where we are today versus what this guy is saying here.
Sure.
So he said, "Republican institutions in the hands of a virtuous and God-fearing nation are the very best in the world. But in the hands of a corrupt and irreligious people, they are the very worst and the most effective weapons of destruction. An indignant people may rise in rebellion against a cruel tyrant, But who will rise against the tyranny of the people in possession of the ballot box and the whole machinery of government? Here lies our great danger, and it is increasing every year. Destroy our churches, close our Sunday schools, abolish the Lord's Day, and our republic would become an empty shell, and our people would tend to heathenism and barbarism. Christianity is the most powerful factor in our society and the pillar of our institutions. Philip Scaff. So,
good deal. Well, thanks for having me on again, Joel. Yeah, this is a blast talking about government.
I love having you on. So
thanks, man. I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you to our listeners for putting up with us and going through a rather dry and deep subject.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for listening, and God bless, guys. Thank you for listening to the Free Man's Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe for more great episodes coming your way soon. For more information and to sign up for exclusive bonus content, you can visit our website, thefreemanspodcast.com. Thanks again for listening, and God bless y'all.